Shall we let's pray before I get started. Lord, I come to you this morning, dear Lord God, as humbly as I know how, Lord. Lord, don't let me mess up what you got going, dear Lord God. Lord, please use me, Lord. Don't let me stand in the way of your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Lord, I can't help people, but you can. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Okay, so this morning we're going to learn about a word. It's, let me see if I can pronounce it. Canotophobia. Has anyone heard of canotophobia? It's a phobia. We know what a phobia is, right? It's a fear of something. Okay, canotophobia is the fear of something new. It's an extreme version. Say it another way, it's the fear of change. How many in here love change? Yeah, we're not going to talk about that change this morning. I'm scared to death of that change. Talking general change in your environment. So, it's a proven fact that people hate change. I was in a situation on my job a few years ago. My boss called me into his office and he said, you see this metric? You see these numbers right here? That's got to change. He said, I want you to go down there and I want you to take this team of people and I want to make it change. That number is too high. It's got to go down. So I went down to that group of people. I prayed about it. Believe it or not, I actually prayed about some things at work. I prayed about it, tried to get some direction. And God gave me such a vision on how to, and I know this may sound goofy to you guys, but God cares about these things. He gave me a vision on how to bring that number down. It was clear as a bell to me. So I went down and I sat with these people and I was excited and I was selling them this change and this thing we were going to do and telling them what our new goal was and your daily work's going to change and this is the way we're going to do it. And I got through this whole thing and there's this gray-haired man sitting in the back. He raised his hand and he said, boy, I got boots at home older than you. I laughed. I thought it was hilarious. Then he went ahead and said, but I like the direction you're going, and you've got my support. And I thought, you know, the truth is, change can't happen without the support of the people. And he jumped in behind me. You know, he was, I think at that time, he was probably 62. He worked till he was almost 70. And I never rose above the status of boy with him. I was his leader for 5, 6, 7 years, and every time he addressed me, it was boy. I don't know what that was, but it's funny. But he always supported me. He always did exactly what I asked him to do. But we made change, and one reason I was able to get support from those guys is because I had a vision, a clear vision. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. If you look around you, this church is changing. Now, not the fundamentals of the church, not what we believe, not what we preach, not the way we worship, but there's growth coming to this church. You know, I've been sitting in that spot back there for about, I don't know, 10, 11 years, maybe a little less. We moved back there when Riley was a baby because she needed to be carried out and spanked a lot. Now she's old enough to smile at me when I embarrass her. And we had to stay for Jenna because she needed her share. But I can hardly even get that spot anymore when we get here. Okay, I see all you guys. You're all in the same spots you're always in. But the church is growing and people are coming in. They're sitting down and there's change. So we have to change with some of that change. Brother Ken has a clear vision for this church. And he's communicated it to us. It's called growing and reaching more people. Okay, that wall is going to come down. This, just the look of this is going to change. We need to get in behind Brother Ken and support the change that's coming. Some of my corporate training says that major change is usually unsuccessful unless most of the members are willing to help. The members have to back the change that's coming. Okay? Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. I'm glad my time is condensed this morning because I've got a short lesson. It kind of worked out. So if change is not going to be successful without us willing to help or us willing to support, then how can we help? That's what I'm going to talk about this morning. How is it that we can help make this thing successful? Now, the success of this ministry isn't to make the church bigger, to make the church something special. It's not to make Brother Ken the pastor of a larger church. It's not about you and me. It's about the people that are going to be reached because we're bigger and we're growing. We have to keep our focus on other people. 1 Corinthians 13, 11 says, "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." Okay, so how can we help make this change successful? Don't be a baby. I'm not trying to insult you, but I want you to listen to me. Don't be a baby, okay? How many of you have more than one child, if you will raise your hand? Okay, when you're the child that was already there, what happened when baby came? The first child turns into a monster. It's a natural thing. All of them do it. They can't help it. I work with a guy. He's got a 2-year-old, 2.5 years old. His little boy's name's Judah. They just went to Africa and adopted a little boy named Mark, who's roughly 9 months old. This young man comes into my office and he says, "I don't know what I'm going to do. We're at the restaurant the other night and Judah rakes everything off the table into the floor. He's turned into a monster." He said the other day he pushed Mark down the steps. What are we going to do? Why is it that Judah's acting up? Why is it that the first child acts up? The baby requires a lot of attention. You're having to give up some attention that you're used to. Who's going to need the attention as we start to grow? Who's going to need Brother Ken's attention? Who's going to need the attention of the church as we start to grow? It's going to be the new people. Most of the time, new people are changing their lives. They're at a different place than you are. They're at a place where you used to be. And you don't need to be where you used to be. You need to be where you are. Let them be where you used to be. We need to be able to prefer others over ourselves. We need to put others first. When someone gets your seat, just, it's not your seat. Welcome them. Love them. So don't be a baby around this change. A sign of maturity is preferring others. Jesus said this was second only to preferring others, was second only to loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, and all thy spirit. So love the Lord first, love others, and you're way down on the list. Another way we can help is to be submissive to our leadership. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 13, 17. Hebrews 13, 17. Very simple verse. It says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may not do it with joy, and not in grief, for that is unprofitable for you." In other words, we have leaders that we're supposed to submit to. It's in God's Word. We're supposed to submit to our leaders in church, in our homes, in our workplaces. As long as no one's asking you to do anything wrong, unethical, against the Word, that you know is wrong, submit. A few years ago, Brother Ken called a group of the men into a room downstairs, and I've told this story before. He says, "God's leading me to buy a vehicle for LaVon Boatner, one of our missionaries, one of our preachers out there." And one of the members spoke up, who's not here anymore, and said, "Well, what about asking some other churches to help?" And Brother Ken says, well, we did that. We asked them. And some people, you know, kind of were okay with it. Others weren't. And I'm not begging. I'm not begging to support God's people. God's leading us to do this. I thought we ought to do it. Do I have your support? So he got the support of the leaders, then he got the support of the church, of the men, and then he got the support of the church. And I want to be honest with you. This was a new concept for me personally. And in my heart, I was thinking, ooh, that's like $30,000 a new vehicle. Really? You know, are we really going to do that? Not really on board with this, but it doesn't break Scripture. It doesn't go against anything in here. It doesn't go against anything. So this verse says, be submissive and subjective to my leaders. So I got in behind it. I didn't say one word to anybody, not even my wife, that I wasn't feeling right about it. Not a word, because it wasn't my place to say these things. Well, I guess a dozen or more vehicles later, here we are. Has God blessed it?
Sure.
Who was right? The man that had the vision to do, had God's vision given to him. Okay, some of you are uncomfortable about this. You know, deep down, I hope you're not putting it out there, but you know, it's change, right? It's natural. We're uncomfortable. A lot of us are uncomfortable. Our preacher has a vision right here. This verse says, obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves. And it also talks about those that have rule over you have to give account. And they watch for your souls. Who's going to get the vision for this church? It's not going to be me or you. It's going to be our pastor. It's going to be the leaders who are responsible for executing the vision. So let's get behind them. There's going to be change here. I ask you to support it. So also the leadership of the church, those of you who have a role in leadership here, have to be behind the change, because you have to continue. You have to continue to cultivate the vision that the pastor flows down. And there are leaders here that don't have a title. You know, there are people that are just natural leaders that you can speak to a group of people. You don't need to be heard downing the direction the church is going, the direction the pastor is going. Because it makes people doubt. It makes people wonder. And they shouldn't have to wonder. As long as it's within the Scripture, support it. So I'm going to truncate some of this, but we need to be willing to, number one, how we can help is don't be a baby. Number two is be submissive to leadership. Number three is we need to accept new people. Now, Brother Mike talked the other night about the Great Commission, and I won't go read it for the sake of time, but the Great Commission is to go out and tell all the world. Okay, how can you do that if you're not willing to grow? If you're not willing to bring more into the ministry, how can you support that Great Commission? You know, there's some more change that's happened, and it started this Wednesday night with the youth. Some of you are uncomfortable with that. It's different, right? What's going on with this youth thing? All right, well, our pastor, one thing that we've done, I want to call some people out. One thing we've enabled to make the youth thing happen, there are three classes that are now going out there instead of their usual spot. So Brother Kevin, Sister Missy, Sister Megan, and Brother Logger, they're all stepping aside during that hour and basically saying, okay, this is the direction the church is going. I'm going to support it. But what I've got going is going to take a back seat during that hour. It's going to be every other Wednesday night. Now, there's potential for trouble there, right? If we don't have a spirit of support, a spirit of what's the greater good, what's the greater purpose. Okay, you think about a church that has no youth. Think about that. Have you ever seen a church that has no youth? I've been in a church that had no youth. If you sit back, it's going to be like this. I've seen it. There's going to be a lot of gray hair, and there's nothing wrong with gray hair. I hope to have some someday. I really hope to get there. I really do. But if you have nothing but gray hair, it's going to be spotty because the population is not going to be that thick. There's less energy at that stage of life. You know, my mother-in-law says she loves for the grandkids to come over because they bring life to her house. And I've heard some of you guys say that. You know, there's energy with young people. There's energy with youth. Oftentimes, the youth are the heartbeat of a church. So having the youth come in and create a community amongst themselves is what a youth group does. It gives them a sense of belonging, a sense. Most of our kids don't go to the same high school. Most of them don't go to the same school. A lot of them are in private schools. They're in different public schools. Some, I don't know if we have any homeschool, but there's a lot of opportunity for these kids to not know each other outside of here. If they come in and sit with their parents and sit separately in this body, they're never going to form that communion or that partnership. This youth group gives them an opportunity to do that. When they do that, they feel like they belong. They start inviting other people. Their lives get changed. And guess what? When kids come in, when kids invite kids, eventually parents start coming in. Now, this isn't about building an empire or building a huge church. This is about bringing people in so they can hear the gospel so their lives can be changed, like yours was changed. We shouldn't hoard this thing, right? We want to share this thing. Jesus always pushed his word out, and he wanted more people to get it. And that's what this growth is all about. So, you know, and guess what? New people are going to come in, new grown-ups are going to come in, and some of those people are going to have a vision for leadership. Some of us leaders are going to have to accept that there are going to be other leaders that come in and take portions of the ministry. Brother Jason's an example of that. He's leading the youth. He's leading the youth group. I hope you don't mind me sharing, Brother Jason, but he shared his heart with me and said, I just don't want people to think I'm coming in and taking over. He said, that's my biggest fear. I appreciate his heart for that. But we got to be big enough to accept new people in and allow them to execute God's vision. If God wanted you to do it, he would have given you the vision. Don't stand in God's way. Let God work. Okay? Am I out of line, brother? Okay. All right. I just want to... I'm not trying to be ugly. Sometimes, and I say this a lot of times at work when I'm saying something hard, I just want to say this out loud. Because sometimes when you say it out loud, it causes you to think about it. So, I want to say this in closing. Be ready to grow and expect it. What if the five families in the homes had an attitude that they don't want new people in? What about the storefront? What if we'd have had an attitude that we didn't want new people in? What about we met in the basement before we finished up here? What if that group down there said, okay, we've got our grounds, we've got our building, let's not let any new people in? Well, this is the next phase. By the way, I was through all that. I was participating in every bit of that. You guys now are a group of new faces since we started, and you're the new core. You're the new group that has to be willing to grow beyond where we are. And you've got to reach out and accept new people. You've got to be the people that are already there, established in it, or bringing people in and loving people. You can't be the people that are being, I don't know how to say it, coddled or stroked or taken care of anymore. It's time to move past that and try. It's time to help others. Okay. Hey, I love you guys. I appreciate your attention. You,